in my speaking and in our hearing, that there may be faith. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, in this season of Lent, we are blessed with two beautiful, evocative images, deep, thick images of God's love. We begin with Abraham, a very, very messy and huge expression of God's love. Abraham has lived his whole life in fear of the nations around him. And his fear, and we see some of that story in the story of Ishmael, who was the son born before Isaac, who was born when Abraham didn't think, or Sarah didn't think she would ever bear him an heir. She told him to go and sleep with her maidservant Hagar. And after Ishmael was born, jealousy consumed Sarah, and she sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And we are told that it is from Ishmael that the descendants of our Muslim brothers and sisters come from. And so here, Abraham is again without an heir, and he is he's afraid of Ishmael coming back to take what could belong to him. And God makes this important promise to Abraham. Abraham, who, even though God held his hand at the last moment from sacrificing his own son, Isaac, Abraham needs big signs, apparently. And God gives him one. And so God commands Abraham to prepare an elaborate, enormous, messy sacrifice. A calf, a goat, a ram, a dove, and two pigeons. And I want you to try and imagine in this space, if you know the size of a calf, that this big, huge, hundreds of pounds, and a goat, not much smaller, and a ram is very thick, and then these birds, splitting them in half, cutting through bone and muscle and intestines, splitting them in half. One on one side, one on the other. It would fill this space with blood, and the smell would be overpowering. And not only does Abraham do this, he then spends the night scaring away all the raptors, all the animals of prey that would come to eat this sacrifice. And so finally, by this point, very likely in his culture, abandoned his clothes, covered in filth and blood, falls into this deep, dark, terrifying sleep, in which God makes that incredible promise that he will be the father of nations, and to just trust and wait. In our gospel, we see an unusual we see an unusual characterization of the Pharisees. Usually we see the Pharisees as the enemy of Jesus. They're always going and challenging and pushing him. In fact, Jesus was probably more in conversation and dialogue with the Pharisees than we are usually prone to believe, because they actually believed a lot of what Jesus was saying about, they believed that a Messiah would come. And so rather than imagining them on two kind of poles, imagine rather rigorous debate. And so them constantly questioning him to try to refine his ideas. And today they've heard word that Herod is going to kill him. So perhaps some of them thought, okay, now we can finally get rid of this troublemaker and have some peace. But ultimately what you have is these folks coming to Jesus and saying, you have to go because Herod is going to kill you. And in one way, Jesus tells them, actually, you're right. I do have to get going. But it's not because of Herod. It's because I have to be in Jerusalem. And so he has this laser focus on Jerusalem all through the Gospels. I've just got to get to Jerusalem, got to get to Jerusalem. And I love his dismissal of Herod, saying, if Herod wants to come and wants to know about what I'm doing, you tell him. You've seen what I do. You've seen how we heal and how we put people's lives back together and we reconcile people with one another and with God. You tell him. I have nothing to hide. But I'm on my way. I'm busy. I gotta go. I heard a great line this week. I was gathering with some clergy that I gather with occasionally. We're working on a play, which is kind of fun. And Michael Marshall, who is a retired Anglican priest, said this great thing. He said, the middle is a great place to hide. So we're often talking in our world today about being on extremes, and that maybe we should, you know, try to come closer towards the middle. And I think there's wisdom there. We do need to do something about these radical divides that are causing the violence for sure that we have experienced, and particularly in Christchurch this weekend, but just the rhetoric that we're hearing every day. We have to do something about that. But I really appreciated Michael's caution that if we spend too much time in the middle amongst ourselves, amongst those of us who have found a way to get along, and it gets really comfortable, it's an easy place to hide. Jesus says to the Pharisees, Jesus talks to the Pharisees about the prophets and about his need to get to Jerusalem, because that's where the prophets belong, because that is where their message is made manifest and will be made manifest. And that this will be good news. And Jesus' prophecy is a prophecy of radical love, love that takes him to the cross and eventually brings him back to life, and that promise of new life for all of us. This week, after on Friday, after waking up from the news of the shootings in Christchurch, I immediately thought of our friend Yassine Dwyer, who is the Muslim chaplain at Ryerson, who uses my office for meeting with students, and of our growing relationship together, but also our growing relationship with that organization and our hope to do more work, particularly on the Ryerson campus. And so on behalf of the congregation and council, I sent a letter to Yassine and the chair of Muslim Chaplaincy Toronto, and I just want to share two just the last part. We share the experience of being part of global religions. When something like this happens, even on the other side of the world, it shakes us all. Our work together, in a world that is becoming more and more divided by hate and tolerance, is increasingly an act of resistance, as well as an expression of the command to love our neighbor. Our relationship is to be treasured. We renew our commitment to compassion, respect, and solidarity. I often contemplate on the times we are in that to love your neighbor is an act of resistance. That says something about our times today, but it is not something that should frighten us. Instead, consider that it seems like the more radical the times become, the smaller the act it takes to be an act of resistance. To ask a friend to be careful when we hear their conversation leading into Islamophobia. We don't have to stand up and walk out and storm out of the room, but simply to say, whoa, hold on a sec. Just think about what you're saying for a minute. That's a huge act of resistance right now, which is shocking, but true. Every time we commit to taking care of our neighbors, every time we commit an act of kindness in this city, we are the prophets in Jerusalem. We are the resistors. And so this Lent, as we reflect not only on our own sin and our own weaknesses, we also reflect on the sin that surrounds us and which we're part. And we ask for strength to continue to love our neighbor, even as it seems to get harder, especially as it seems to get harder. And we give thanks continually to come from a place of gratitude for the enormous act of love that God gives to us, and that we receive through those who love us. And this morning, as we come to gather in prayer, we hold not only the victims of Christ Church, but the victims of the plane crash in Ethiopia, and all those who we know dedicate their lives maybe a little bit more than we do to making peace and to sharing love. Amen.